Okay, and the top. In the top it's 154, in the bottom it's 292. We're going to start 6 lines in the top of the page. Now, Tereb, at the beginning of the second Perek, started explaining that based on what he explained in the first chapter, that there's continuous creation, and there's a power of Hashem constantly in the world making it exist. And if Hashem's power would leave for a second, the world would be nothing as if it never existed. So he said we can understand why the Minim and Apikursim made a mistake by saying there is no divine providence. And they say that God doesn't control the world. And then we discussed, why did they say that? Because they said, for God to have to deal with a low physical world is degrading for Hashem. You can't say Hashem has to deal with all the garbage that's going on in the world is degrading for Hashem. So they say Hashem exists in the heavenly spheres, Hashem deals with the heavenly things. The earthly things, Hashem left over in the hands of the constellations and the stars and the angels and so on. So he says, what's their mistake? Their mistake is because they compare creation of heaven and earth to like a carpenter making a table and leaving. A carpenter builds a table, the carpenter leaves, and the table stands. So they said the same thing. Hashem made the world, and he left. He checked out. So the Rebbe says it's a completely different comparison. It's not a comparison. He says when a guy takes a carpenter takes a piece of wood and makes a table. Or a silversmith takes a piece of silver and makes a kiddush cup. The material existed. The wood existed. All he did was change it from this size to that size, from this shape to that shape. So therefore, all he did was what's called yesh mi yesh, something from something. But when Hashem made the world, Hashem didn't take something and make it into something. Hashem took nothing and made nothing into something. So the Alter Rebbe started explaining that creation is even a greater wonder than the crossing of the sea. When Hashem split the sea by Kriyas Yamsuf, it says in the pasuk there was an eastern wind keeping the water standing. And the second the eastern wind went away, the water came back and flowed its original nature. Like we gave the moshul last week of a dam. You can have a dam in water, and the dam could be there for 1,000 years. The second you take away the wall, the water is back as if it never stood. You throw a ball up, the ball will only go up for the amount of power that you put into it. The second the power is done, the ball comes back down to earth as if it never went up. And what we're in the middle of learning now is, the Alter Rebbe says, that this nature that water has to flow is also created by God. Forget the water. The fact that water flows is also created. Let's see it inside now. 6 lines in the top. He says, V'av she'teva zeh b'mayim. Even though this nature of water, that it flows, gam ke nivra mechudesh yesh mi'ayin is also considered yesh mi'ayin. It's a new nature. Meaning not only is water yesh mi'ayin, something from nothing, but the nature that water possesses is also something from nothing. Why? Sharechem es avonim, because a wall of stone, nitzavis mi'atzma, stands by itself, b'li ruach, without a wind. If you make a brick wall, the brick wall doesn't need a wind making it stand. The nature of a brick is to stand. Rak sheteva amayim einakim, but water doesn't. Water's nature is to flow. So therefore, the kol shekem v'kavochem, how much more so, b'briyas yesh mi'ayin. When you're talking about creation, something from nothing, shilamayla me'ateva, which is higher than nature, v'aflo pela, yoytzim kriyas yamsuf, and it's even more wondrous, more miraculous than kriyas yamsuf. But Alter Rebbe is saying as follows. By kriyas yamsuf, all Hashem did was make one nature into another nature. The nature of water to flow, which is also created, Hashem made that now the nature of water is to be like a wall.
Kriyas Amibriya, creation, Hashem took nothing and made nothing into something. He didn't change the nature. He made nothing into something. So what's the nature of nothing? To be nothing. If you want to change the nature of nothing, that it should be something, you need a continuous force in it, keeping it to be something. Because if the force leaves, it goes back to its original nature of being nothing. So the Alter Rebbe says, it must be divine providence. Because if this book has a power of God in it, keeping it in existence, how could you say Hashem has nothing to do with the world? The existence of the world is dependent on Hashem's power which is within it. So therefore there's divine providence not only on mankind, like the Rambam Meir Nevuchim says, but as the Baal Shem Tov explains, there's divine providence on inanimate, plant, animal, and human. There is nothing in the world that doesn't have the power of Hashem keeping in existence. Because if Hashem would leave for a second, the world wouldn't be. And in order for the world to be, there has to be a constant power in it. And the constant power is the power of Hashem keeping it in existence. So therefore, it's the power of Hashem is in the world. That's called Hashgacha Pratis. That's called divine providence. Because Alter Rebbe is going to explain in a few lines that unlike the neshama, we mentioned this last time, when the neshama comes into the body, the neshama doesn't create the body, because when the neshama leaves, the body doesn't disappear. The neshama gives life to the body. It's like a battery gives life to the flashlight. And the engine of the car allows the car to move. But when you take out the battery, the car doesn't disappear. Because it doesn't create it, it just makes it alive. By creation, it's not the point that Hashem makes the world exist. I mean, alive, that means there's a world, and Hashem puts the battery into the world. The existence of the world is dependent on Hashem. So if Hashem's power would leave for a second, there wouldn't be any world. So therefore we're forced to say, the Alter Rebbe says, that there's continuous creation, and therefore there's divine providence, because everything in the world is dictated and governed by Hashem's power, which is within the world. So let's see inside. Allah has come of a kama much more so, by creation. If Hashem's wind leaves the water goes back to its original flowing, how much more so? That when God's power leaves the world, the world would become nothing again. So therefore, there has to be a constant power of Hashem in creation, to make it alive, and to make it exist. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe has explained there is a constant power. Now the Alter Rebbe is going to explain what is the power. What power of Hashem is in the world keeping it existing? So the Alter Rebbe says, V'heinein b'chinas eisius adibor, these are the letters of speech, me'asara maimoris, from the 10 utterances of creation, shebehem nivru, that God created the world with. Meaning, what is the power of Hashem in creation? When Hashem said, let there be a sun, that's the power of Hashem in the sun. When Hashem said, let there be a moon, that's the power of Hashem in the moon. That power of Hashem, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim that he quoted on the first page, La'elam Hashem dvarcha nitzav b'shamayim, that forever God, your words are standing in the heaven, that power of Hashem that he created the world with is continuously creating. This is the meaning of what we say in davening every day, HaMechadesh B'tuvei B'chol Yem Tomid Ma'ase Bereishis. Right before Shema, the paragraph before Shema, we say that God renews creation B'chol Yem Tomid every day. It's a new creation every day. What's unique, so L'chei we should all be 1 second old. Hashem keeps recreating the world so we should never get older, should never age, because we're 1 second old. It's continuous creation. But the answer is, though, Hashem recreates in a way that addition to the previous second. That's why we're always getting older. Because if you have a continuous creation, we should say the same age, a day old or a second old. It doesn't work because Hashem recreates, adding to what you were before. But if Hashem's power leaves, there is no world. And now he says an interesting thing. This is what the pasuk says. We say it also every day in davening Vayivarach David. Va'ata mechaya eskulam. Simply means, God, you make everything live. See, it says, al tikin mechaya, the shaloh HaKadosh, and the Shizchachim, other people say, don't read it mechaya, that he gives life. Ela mahava, he creates. Don't read it that God gives life to the world. Read it, God gives life to the world. And he says, what does va'ata mean? Ata literally means you. He explains, let me say it outside. Ata is spelled Aleph, Tof, Hey. Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph Beis. Tof is the last letter of the Aleph Beis. So Aleph to Tof means all the letters of the Aleph Beis. And the Hey, five, is the five formations of speech. Some letters you say, what's called Hey Mitzar Sepeh. Some letters you say with the throat. Some letters you say with the lips. Some letters you say with the tongue, some letters with the teeth, some with the stomach. Like, hey, you say with the stomach. Buh, you say with the lips. Different letters you say, like it says, bumf, beis, vav, mem, pei, is from the lips. It's from the throat. Ches, different letters come from the five formations. So it says, what does it mean? Va'ata mechaya eskulam. Ata refers the letters from Aleph to Tov, with the five formations of the mouth, Mechaya Eskulam, not only does it mean gives life to the world, but it means it makes the world exist. Not like the neshama in the body, that you take away the neshama, the body still stands. Here you take away the power, there is no world. And therefore Hashem is continually creating, and therefore Hashem's presence is continuously in the world. And if not, there is no world. Va'ata, he says, what does it mean, va'ata? Hey, mechinis, aesius, that refers to the letters, me aleph atof, from aleph to tof, from beginning to end. Va'hei, is hey, meitzor sapeh, the five formations of the mouth, which are called, makor ha'aesius, the source of the letters. So basically, the Alter Rebbe is just explaining the power of Hashem that exists in the universe is the words that Hashem spoke. Now the Alter Rebbe is going to explain Hashem doesn't have a mouth, so what does it mean Hashem spoke? We're saying that the speech of Hashem is the power of existence, but if Hashem doesn't have a mouth and he can't speak, so how in the world do you have letters and words which are the power of creation? No, Hashem made it happen. Hashem never leaves. He's sometimes more revealed and less revealed, but he's always here. When the Beis HaMikdash existed and Hashem's presence was revealed, now there's no Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's presence is more concealed, but not that the presence is less. If Hashem's presence is less, then we don't exist. So he says, "Va'af she'en le'dmus aguf." Even though Hashem has no formation of a body, so how do you say Hashem spoke? So he says, nevertheless, "Harei mikra mole diber akosiv." The Torah says a full pasuk, which says, "Va'idaber Hashem, va'yemer Hashem." Hashem spoke. Hashem said. What does it mean? The beginning says, "Galus achav beis asius al yenis." This is the revelation of the 22 letters of the Nevi'im to the prophets, umislapshis besichlam, that comes into their intellect, vasagotim, in their understanding, b'mara nevuah, in the vision of prophecy. to give a, and this is a very important concept to understand, because this is whether you're an apikeiros or not an apikeiros. The concept of words is basically nothing. Words themselves are nothing. Words are tools to reveal feelings or an idea. You know, all of a sudden, you get an emotion. It's the emotion of love. What language do you love in? You don't love in English or French or Hebrew. Love is an emotion that's wordless, letterless. If you want to express the emotion, you have to express it in certain words. Any intellectual concept is not in words. Any intellectual concept you can say in any language. Right? You could say it you can say the same thing in English in five different ways. You can explain something five different ways using completely different words. You can say, reveal an emotion in 20 different words. You could say the word love and like and feel and whatever it is, you know. You could say it. Words are not the emotion. Words are not the intellect. What words and emotions are, what words are, is the vehicle, the tool, the vessel to reveal a power which is above it. Love is not in words. If I want to reveal that I love you, so I have to say it in a certain word, in a certain way. You can say it in any language in different ways, but it has to be verbally said. When Nevi'im, by the way, and this is a misunderstanding, when a Navi had prophecy, a prophet had prophecy, it doesn't mean Hashem necessarily said those words. The Navi got a divine revelation, which translated into words means this is what Hashem said. Koy amar Hashem. So God said. It doesn't necessarily mean that God said those words. It's a revelation that translated into words. These are the words that God said. When it says in Chumash, Vayomer Elokim, God spoke. It doesn't mean God has a mouth and said words. Just like we learned a while ago. What is speech? To understand what speech is, and what the Torah uses the word Hashem spoke, in order for us to understand that Hashem has to use human terms, because if he doesn't use human terms, you're not going to understand what he's talking about. What is speech? When I speak, before I spoke, I had the thought in my head. But you don't know the thought that's in my head. Right? I have a feeling of love or fear or hate or whatever. But that is hidden. You don't know what my feeling is. If I want to reveal that thought to you, I need to say it. If I want to reveal the feeling to you, like we just said, you have to reveal it. You have to say it. What does that mean? Speech is nothing but a revelation of something which was hidden. My thoughts are hidden. When I say it, I reveal it to you. It's not any different than my thoughts, by the way. The only difference between thinking and talking is thinking you don't know, and talking you know. Meaning, hidden is hidden, it's revealed to me, but hidden from you. And speech is I reveal it to you. So what is the concept of speech? Speech is revealing something which was hidden. The words are only the vehicles to express that thought or feeling. When it says in Chumash, Hashem said, let there be light, the beginning of Chumash, it doesn't mean Hashem said, hey, Yehi Or. What it means is, Hashem, because Hashem doesn't have a mouth. If you don't have a mouth, you can't say Yehi Or. What it means is, Hashem had the power to create light. Hashem has the power to create light. But he didn't reveal it yet. It wasn't hidden. It was hidden. It wasn't revealed. Vayomer Elokim, translated into Hasidic language, Hashem revealed the power that he had to create light, Vayehi Erd, and light became created. Hashem has the power to create a heaven. It was hidden. Vayomer Elokim, God revealed the power to create the heaven, and the heaven became created. So when we're talking about the words of Hashem that's in the physical world, we're not talking about letters that Hashem is speaking. We're talking about the revelation of Hashem's powers that translated into words, means table, shulchan, kise, chair, evan, stone, chamer, a donkey, shur, an axe, and so on. And that's the whole concept of prophecy. I can't tell you never had prophecy, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Hashem said, you know, whatever. Hashem revealed a revelation of Nevuah, or the revelation of godliness, translated into language, into a practical, limited revelation that it could be understood. Hashem put it into words. What do the words mean? In a certain form of limitation. So when you say Hashem's words are in the heaven, it doesn't mean Hashem has words. We're talking about revelations of godliness that in this particular object go through the letters Aleph, Beis, Nun, so it's a stone. And this revelation goes through Shin, Vav, Lamed, Ches, Nun, which is Shulchan, which is table. And that's the revelation of God that keeps it in existence. If that revelation is out, there is no world. So he says four lines in the bottom of the page. Okay, Ainza, and so it is also. He slapshes the aces bebruim, the letters that Hashem created the world with. Like it says, Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, the word of God, the heavens were made. Uveruach Pivim, with the spirit of his mouth, Kol Tzvam, all the hosts and everything in the world. Dakshi Aide Hishtal Shalus Rabbis Vatsumas, but it's a tremendous, great descent. And limitation and restriction and concealment, that it comes into a physical object, into a physical table and chair and stone and so on. Masha'enkin asagas anaviim. On the other end, though, the revelation of the prophets is in the world, from the world of Atzilus, that dresses itself into the world of Bria, meaning the godly power that's in the table is so limited and so concealed and so restricted and so hidden that it comes into a physical object. Prophecy is a much greater revelation that doesn't come down into a physical object. It comes into the level of the prophet. And that's what Chassidus explained, well, the Mefarshim explained in Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi that had Nevuah during the day. He was the only Navi that had prophecy during the day. All the other Nevi'im had prophecy at night. At night, the Neshama left the body. The Neshama wasn't restricted anymore by the body. So the Neshama going up got these visions of Elokus. Then when it came back down into the body, translated itself into the words of the Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu's body was so great that he was able to attain this revelation of godliness even in broad daylight when he was up. He didn't have to sleep. And in fact, it's brought down in one of the Malachim, I think. It says over there about the Chassidus brings it down, that by the Navi it says he took off his clothing and he prophesied. So the Chassidus explains the whole concept of clothing came because of the Chet Tzedas. Because that's when they realized they were naked and then they needed clothing. So the whole inyan of clothing is a concept of evil that came from the Chet Tzedas. So the Navi, so to speak, took off his clothing and took off that evil from the Chet Tzedas, and he was reached the level that he was able to prophesy. So their prophecy is the level of Atzilus remaining in the world of Bria. And the power of Hashem that keeps the world existing is the same power of Hashem from Hashem's speech, from Malchus of Atzilus, that lowers itself lower, 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 until it finally is able to come completely concealed and hidden in this world, to the extent that when you look at the table, and this is what we're going to learn in the next few chapters, when you look at a table, it's a remarkable thing. The entire existence of the table is the power of God that's in it. And yet we can look at the table and say there's no God. What do you mean, everybody? They heard the prophecy from the Navi, not from Hashem. Right, that's why they didn't get the prophecy. Yes, sir. She got the right place? Okay. What?
So does that mean that like when we, are we like Hashem in that way? Like when we say, when we daven and say we want Mashiach or whatever, by using our words, are we actually creating like a reality in a certain sense?
Yeah, words create a reality.
That's what davening is all about, right?
Right.
So Hashem gives us that power. Like if Hashem didn't give us that power, then what we would say during davening wouldn't matter.
Correct. I mean, why are you only asking about davening? If we're such tiny, puny, worthless, seemingly worthless creatures, why in the world does it matter if we do a mitzvah or not? Why does Hashem care? Yeah, what does he care for? Who says he cares?
Because he tells us.
Right. The only reason why, it's late, but to give you a very, I mentioned this marshal a million times. The only reason our finite actions matter to the infinite God, because by mathematical definition it can't, okay, is only because Hashem said so. Otherwise, finite actions have no relevance in infinite. Correct? To give you a marshal, you have, and this is a scenario, so to speak. There's two bugs, two little ants, in the Amazon jungle. They're having a conversation between themselves. Do you know this person in California? They're really great. Or, you know this guy? They're really lousy. Are you really going to care what two bugs talk about you in the Amazon jungle? You couldn't care less what the two bugs are saying, right? Yet, the bugs in us have a mathematical more connection than us to God. They're finite, we're finite. They're creatures, we're creatures. Correct? Hashem is infinite and we're finite. So what in the world mathematically should it matter if two people are getting together and saying, Baruch Hashem, God is great and God is great. Who cares? You think God should care? The only reason it matters is because Hashem says it matters. And because Hashem says it matters, it matters. And that's the greatness and kindness of Hashem to us. That us, tiny little bugs, in the realm of the scope of godliness, right? Even lower than that. That what we do has a tremendous impact on Hashem. And not only that, this explains, not only does it have an impact on Hashem, we make it or break it. Whether God reveals himself or not is up to me and you. Whether Hashem reveals himself more or less, it's up to me and you. That's the infinite kindness of Hashem, that Hashem decides. That's what he wants.
So if we know something that's happening in the news like now with all those wildfires that are going on, should we be davening to Hashem to stop that?
Whatever there is, you can daven to Hashem to stop it, but like Baal Shem Tov said, you hear or you know of something, there's a lesson for it in Avedas Hashem. One simple lesson?
Yes.
One simple lesson? I'll tell you a very simple lesson. You know how those massive fires started?
By a little nothing.
Right. By a little nothing, a little cigarette, a little match. Yeah? So a person has to think, if one tiny match can destroy thousands and thousands of acres and cause millions and millions of damage, can you imagine what one little mitzvah could do? Because good is infinitely more than bad. or even in the way of negativity. A person could say to himself, so I do one big, small, tiny Aveda. Does it really matter? So I did a tiny little Aveda. It's only a tiny little Aveda. The answer is, the fires teach you, you throw down a tiny little match, or a cigarette, or whatever, look what happens. There's no such thing as a little thing. And how much more so in the positive way of